Right, yesterday we left off. The Gemara was discussing Kolam Albin, Pnei Chavir Baradim, Kilo Shofech Damim. Whoever embarrasses their friend in public is equivalent to being Shofech Damim, to killing them. Gemara is going to continue that line. We mentioned yesterday the Chiddush of the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that when we say that there's an equivalence between Malbim Pnei Chavir Baradim and Shofech Damim, it's a real equivalence, and that you would be classified under Yehirag V'Yavor. You would have a din of Yehirag V'Yavor when it comes to Malbim Pnei Chavir Baradim, because it's a subset or a subcategory of Shvichut Damim. And then Tosafot in Sota, and Daf Yud in Sota says that despite the fact that the Gemara creates this equation between Shvichut Damim and Malbim Pnei Chavir Baradim, since it's not explicitly written in the Torah, Malbim Pnei Chavir Baradim, it would not be subject to Yehirag V'Yavor. So again, the Rabbeinu Yonah is unique, but in this expression of Malbim Pnei Chavir Baradim being literally Shvichut Damim and that Yehirag V'Yavor, but just the fact that the Rabbeinu Yonah says it, it's not that it's just a melitza. It's not just a saying of the Gemara, but it's literally that it's kiilu shofech damim. So now the Gemara continues the last line on the Tchadam Advet. Amar Rav Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Noach lo adam shiabo asafek eshet ish v'yayo bin pnei chavero b'rabim. It's better for a person to be involved in the avera of safek eshet ish, right, of safek adultery, rather than be embarrassed his friend in public. Minale, where do we know this? The Dorish Rabba might chtiv. Rabba was Dorish the pasuk in Tehillim. Ubitzali samechu v'nesafu karu v'lo damu. Right, so the pasuk that David HaMelech says, Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Galuy v'yadu lefenecha. You know the truth. She'ayu mikarim b'sari lo yadami shotet la'aretz. If they ripped over my skin, my blood would not drip down to the ground. I mean, obviously indicating that he was a tzaddik, right? That there was nothing wrong with him. That's the second half of the pasuk, which is karu v'lo damu. Right, they ripped me open, v'lo damu, there was no blood. V'lo od, elo afilu b'shasho skimi nega'im v'olot. Even at the time that they're dealing with nega'im and olot in the Beit HaMidrash, amrim li David, abal eshidish, mitato b'meh. Right, what is the punishment for someone who commits adultery? V'ani omer lehem, mitato b'chenek. Right, the mita, the death penalty for someone who is involved in eshidit is mitato b'chenek, v'yesh lo chelek le'olam haba. But he still has a chelek le'olam haba. Aval, ha'mobin et pnei chevero b'rabim, ein lo chelek le'olam haba. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public has no chelek le'olam haba. So the way Rav is darshaning the pasuk is ubitzali. Right, when I was limping, samchu. They got excited. They got excited that I was hurt or I was down. Right, when they gathered against me, David says, even though karuv lo damo, even though you know that besides this one incident, karuv lo damo, that I was a tzaddik gamur. So David's describing is that they in the base medrash, even though what it seems from an argument here, it's a filu shesu skimi negaim olot, even though they were off topic, they were talking about negaim and olot, all of a sudden they bring up this eshedish issue. They're obviously bringing it up because, right, David and Bathsheba, right, the issue of David and Bathsheba, so they were trying to, you know, poke at David. So David would answer them, he says, yes, you're right, that's mitato b'chenek, but you have a chelek l'olam haba. When it comes to malbim chenei or chavero b'rabim, here, where you're trying to embarrass me, right, there is no ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So whatever you're doing is much worse than whatever I did. So that's how the Gemara learns from this, that it's better to have safek eshetish than to be malbim chavero pnei chavero b'rabim. Why is it safek eshetish here? Right, why is it safek eshetish? It's eshetish. Right, it was involved with Bathsheba. So Rashi quotes the Gemara. Right, the Gemara Shabbos says, "Kol omer David chata inu elu toeh." And whoever says David was chata is only making a mistake. What's the reason? The reason is that when the Chayalei Beit David, when the soldiers of the army of David used to go out to war, they used to give their wives a get. It's a bisafik. Out of a safek, maybe they would not come back from the war. If they didn't come back from the war, they didn't want their wives to be or have to perform yibum. So they used to give them a gift before they left, that if I don't return from the war, if I don't return from the battle, then you are divorced, right, from today. And it's as if we weren't married and you won't have to perform yibum. So based on that, since Uriah never returns from the battle, in a sense, he never, after he's killed, right, later on, by Yoav retreating by the city, right, Uriah never returns, so technically Bathsheba was divorced. Because there was divorce, she's not really an eshedish, she's really a safek eshedish. Rabbeinu Tam is not happy with Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. One of which is, he discusses, first of all, how was the get written? Was it written mehayom, from today forward, or was it just written, you know, a moment before Misa that I got the get? Who says, first of all, I'd have to indicate that the get was the mafreya, I mean, that mehayom was all the way back. And we had the Mishnah at the end of Gittin, which told us, Ma, what is the mamad of the isha? What's the standing of a woman who gets such a get? So there's machlok as a tanaim over there. One of them says safek eshadish, right? One says erba, right? The tanaim, nobody says that she's muteret even in that period of time. And David clearly, right, was with Bathsheba prior to Uriah dying. So he, whatever the tanaim say in the Mishnah there, that David is in a situation where it's not free and clear for him to go and be with the Bathsheba. So Rabbeinu Tam, and also the Rabbeinu Tam says Rashi, what does it mean that David is in lo chata David? He did, he was choter because he was involved with a safek eshadish. It wasn't that it was, she was free and clear. So Rabbeinu Tam suggests no, that when the Chayilei Beit David went out to battle, they gave a full-fledged get to their wives. They divorced their wives entirely. So why is she called a safek eshadish? Because they only used to do it in private. They used to give a private get to their wives. They would not make a public or a public announcement about it. Why? Because they didn't want people coming, because their wives were now single. And they didn't want people coming and taking their wives, because technically they were free women. So they used to give it in private. So that's why it was specifically Eshadish, because nobody else knew. People didn't know if she had a divorce or not a divorce. So that's why she called Sefik Eshadish. But the Rabbeinu Tam solved the problem, because now, really, Bathsheba was a divorcee. She was not married to Uriah Chiti anymore, and was divorced ahead of time. All right, the Girsa, by the way, just in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Girsa here is that Shayuo scheme Arba Mitot Beitin. When they were involved with Arba Mitot Beitin, they used to ask David on topic, right, what is the din of an Eshadish, which I read the Girsa makes a little more sense. Over here, the Gemara is saying, Afilo, they were off topic. I mean, I know the Marsha, I know they tried to connect the Nigayim and Olot. Nigayim are what's the punishment for Lashon Hara, despite the fact that they were speaking, right, inappropriately about David. Nevertheless, just you're aware that the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a different Girsa. Better a person should drop himself into the fire and not embarrass his friend. How do we know this from? We know this from Tamar. She was being, here mutzeit really means she was taken out, but she was taken out to be executed. And she sent to her father-in-law, Yehuda, who's her father-in-law. He sends her the mateh and the chotemet and says, L'meisha advar me'ila, right? Anihara, that I am pregnant from whoever these materials belong to. And Yehuda answers in the end, Tzadka mimeni. He admits it. But she was not willing to press the issue or say that it was Yehuda. She wanted Yehuda to admit from by himself that he had done it. So you see, she didn't do it publicly. And what else? She was being mutzed, where she'd be taken out. She'd been taken out to be burnt. The sreifa. So she'd be taken out to be burnt. Better to not embarrass your friend in public and say that it was Yehuda and let herself be burnt. So that's what the Gemara learns from here. That's interesting. Tosfos quotes over here, he mutzed. Mutzed, the way we have it spelled, is with an aleph, which means to be taken out. So it says, he mutzeit from the word mutzeit without an aleph in it. Mutzeit without an aleph in it means like, v'yetzeit ish v'tzion, right? Which means to light a fire, to kindle a fire. So he mutzeit means she's taken out to be burnt. Now the Tosafot in Ketubot quotes this v'shem arach, and he says the girsa in the Gemara should be, v'he mutzeit, v'he shilcha. Meaning that his, which is very difficult, because our Sifrei Torah have he mutzeit with an aleph in it. It seems to be that Divach had a Girsa, not only, but if he's Megaris that in the Gemara, that means that he had a Torah that sounds like didn't have an Aleph in it. So, it's just an interesting, interesting issue. Here, Tosfos sounds more like it's explaining the word Mutzeit to be with the, even though it has an Aleph, it's explained the other way. But the Rach changes the Girsa to read he Mutzeit without an Aleph in the Gemara in Kesubos. So, Tosfos in Kesubos. So there, if you change the Girsa, that means that you really believe that that's what's in the Torah. Otherwise, you don't have to mend the Girsa. And that would say it's just interesting to know that they had a possibly had a sefer Torah that did not have an aleph in it for he would say the Yishol Chal Chomia. What does it mean? That we just learned that after the Mishnah Lotonu Ish Et Amito is that you're not allowed to have onat divarim. Am shitcha b'Torah u'mitzvot al toneo. That onah is we narrow the scope of onah. Onah applies to bnei Yisrael and bnei Torah. Shana be manne. Bnei Torah and Bnei Mitzvot, because it's Am, equivalent to somebody have Nasib Am Chalo Tohar, right? Am Shitcha B'Mitzvot, same type of drasha there that we narrow it down to those that are partners with you, those that are partners in Torah and Mitzvot. Amrav, Dolam Yile Adam Zayir Bo Nat Ishto, Shbetoch Timatam Tsuyan Ota Krova. that a person should always be careful with the onati shel, with oppressing his wife, saying things that will offend or affect his wife. Why? Because her tears come easily. They don't attack Hova. Hashem takes retribution very quickly. So we know that from in Mishpatim, right? Because it says that Bitzalake Lai, right? The Ani or the Almana will come and cry out to me. It says that I'll come and then punish you. So what's the answer? The answer is that only when they cry out, I'm going to punish you? No. That when they call out, I'm in Maheret. I bring their punishment quick, swiftly. Someone's calling out, someone's in pain, Hashem intercedes quickly in order to protect them. Whereas if it's just a stam issue, Hashem gives you time to do tshuva, gives you time to ask for rachamim. But in this case, again, if his wife is crying and dibata, her tears are coming, that means her pain is immediate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the punishment immediately. The time that Beit Mikdash was destroyed, that the Sharei Tefillah, the gates of Tefillah, were locked. Shenemar, Gam ki ezak ve'eshaveya, it's from an Eicha, even when I called out and I pleaded for you, Hashem, Satam Tefillati. My Tefillah was closed out, shut down. My Tefillah was not allowed to enter. So here, by the way, just one of the themes that of Tisha B'Av, one of the themes of Tisha B'Av is Satam Tefillati. The inability to have, to daven, and the inability to have our tefillot accepted. Here from the Eicha, the Gemara quotes from Eicha Satam Tefillati, which is one of the reasons that we don't say Titkabel Ratzon, right? We don't say Titkabel in Kaddish on Tisha B'Av because there is no Kabbalat Tefillah on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not a day of Tefillah, right? It's a day of Kinot. But if you look carefully also in the Parshiot, we always read Dvarim and Shabbat Chazon, and we always read from the Haftorah, both of them thematically in there have a Satam Tefillati. Both of them have a parak that talks about the fact that we called out to Hashem, and Hashem did not listen. So that's one of the themes that revolves around the Tisha B'Av is there, Satam Tefillati.
It says, Miyom Shechara Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
We said after, I mean, it's coming up, it's the opposite. Mishnama Parim Svatayna. The Tefillah comes instead of the Korbanot.
Right. But Satam Tefillati is that the Sharei Tefillah are not easy to open. I think that's how the way Rishonim learn over here. They're not open or easily accessed. It means that one has to make an extreme effort to reach the Sharei Tefillah. V'afal pi she-Sharei Tefillah ninalu, Sharei Dma'ot lo ninalu. And even though the Sharei Tefillah have been closed, the Sharim of tears have not been closed. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Shim'at Tefillati Hashem, which is a request from Hashem. Hashem, please listen to my Tefillah. Vishavati azina, my pleading, please, you know, listen to it, right? Hear it. El dimati atecharash, right? To my tears, do not be silent. So the way Tosfos, other Rishonim explain here. In the other cases, it says shim'a, or hazina, or ra'a, see, or hear, that he's making a request. Over here, it says he's making a definitive statement, or his statement is dimati atecharash, but I know my tears will not be, right, will not be silenced. My tears will not come back silent. And that's what we say in the Piyutim, in Yom Kippurim. Right? We say it in the Maslichot, before Yom Kippur, but in the Ilah of Yom Kippurim, we bring the note shel Dema'ot. Right? Sharei Tefillah Ninalu, and we bring the note, we bring the container full of Dema'ot, B'Chadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, Sharei Dema'ot Lo Ninalu. Right? The Sharim of tears have not been closed. So again, also, I assume that the Gemara is playing also on the fact that a woman who cries, when the Onah of her husband cries, Sharet Dema'ot Lo Ninalu, means that her tears will reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately, and that he will respond to her tears. V'amarav, kol ha'olech batzat ishto nochel Gehinom. Anybody who listens to his wife, goes to Gehinom. Shneamar, Rav lo haya ke'achav. There was no man as bad as Achav, what's the end of the Pasuk? Because he went, batzat ishto Izebel. He went after his wife, Izebel, and that's why he was so bad. Isn't there a common saying, if your wife is short, bend over and listen to her? Lokasha. Listen to what she has to say. Right? Listen to Lachash, to listen what she has to say to you. Lokasha. It depends what she's speaking about. If she's speaking about items of the house, you listen to your wife. Miladama, outside the house, that's not her realm, and then you don't listen. Lishnachrina, Abimilidishmaya, Abimilidama. No, in Miladama, the wife is always kovat, right? They're always kovat. Whereas Miladishmaya is where the man has to stand up or make the decision. Alright. Amra Chista, Kol Sharim Nilanim, Chutz Mishare Una'a. And all the Sharim are closed, except for the Sharim Una'a. Now, this is not said in the positive sense, it's in the negative sense, meaning that Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't always focus on Averot or negative items. Right, except for Ona, Shenemar, because it says, Vinei Hashem Nitzav HaChumat Anach, Hashem was standing or is above a Chumat Anach. Anach here is really a mefalis, is a plum. Right, a wall that was made by a plum, which means that it's a straight wall, Ubiyado Anach, and Hashem is holding the plum line in his hand, he's holding the mefalis in his hand. But the Gemara here is not saying that it's Anach, they're playing on the word Anach, it's saying that it's really Ona. I think you could interpret Anach Ona is because why? What does a plum line do? What is a weight, when you have a weight on a string, what does it do? It makes it straight. And that what you're trying to do is make the wall absolutely straight to be measured. So Ona'ah, what's the problem with Ona'ah? Ona'ah is that a person did not take a measured means. He overcharged, a person underpaid or overcharged. He's going away from what would have been the straight and narrow, away from what would have been the, right, nufales, the plumb line. And so over here, the Anach, the represents the Ona'ah, that a person here, talking about Ona'ah, that Hashem is watching over there. Amar Avazar kol nifra b'day shliach chutz me'ona'ah. That a person is punished generally a day an agent of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, except for Ona'ah. Shnemar uviyado Anach. Hashem with his own hand is holding on to the Anach, but meaning Ona'ah over here, that he comes and punishes for it. Amar Rabbo Gimel Impar Gud Nilal Bifnehem. Right, if three people, the screen before a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not closed, again in a negative sense, the screen is not closed because Hashem is always focusing on these Averot. That he hears, the one who's person is oppressed, Akash Baruch Hu Shari Ona'ah are open, that Hashem hears them. And also over here, if there's an Avera of Ona'ah, Hashem is always focused on that Avera. How do you know that? Ona'ah, there are three. What are those things? Ona'ah, Gezel, and Avodah Zarah. Ona'ah, Dichtivu Yodo Anach. And it says Hashem is holding the Ona'ah. If he's holding it, he's always seeing it. Gezel, Dichtiv, it says in Yahu, Chamash Vashod, Ishama Ba, that I hear. Hashem says, I hear the theft, the thievery, and the robbery, and all the bad ben adam, the chaviro items that are going on. Al panai tami, they are constantly in front of me. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that the Hamas and the Gezel are continuously in front of me. Avodah Zarah dichtiv, by Avodah Zarah it says, Am amachisim oti, the nation that are angering me, what are they angering me with? Avodah Zarah. Al panai tami, they are always on me, or always focused. I'm always focused on it. So here are three items again where Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't leave, meaning that he always sees these Averot. It's constantly in front of him, as well as the Ona'ah, the punishment for Ona'ah. Hashem hears it immediately, right? It takes retribution of the one who's mitaneh, the one who's been oppressed. Hashem makes sure that he answers them and takes care of them, because that's always standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ona'ah is always for Hashem, and that's why one has to be very careful. We said on yesterday's daf, and yesterday's daf, there's a big Ona'at Mamon is nitan le'ishavon. Not mamon, you can always return. When you steal money, you can return money. You can't return it. Even if you say, I'm sorry, you can't remove it. The pain that's caused, the gufo, right? That Hashem takes retribution for. Hashem punishes those types of items. You had a question?
Just the pasuk, Yishamapa al-Panayat Amid. The first part sounds like he's sending it to someone else. And then the second part he's saying it about himself is he.
Right, Yishamapa is referring to the city of Yerushalayim. So Hamas was showed Yishamaba, the hearing is heard in the city of Yerushalayim. Al panai tamid, I see it all the time. I'm seeing everything that's going on in Yerushalayim. Okay. It's very similar. The verse that should always be careful that he has food in his house. Again, I think broadly termed as parnasah, but parnasah for nitzachim, things that are needed in the house. Why? There's only fights for. Discord only appears in the house when there is no food or there's no basic parnasa, basic needs that are there. It is obviously very true. Unfortunately, it's very true. Shenemar, how do we know this from? It says that some gvulech shalom. Hashem puts the borders, puts shalom on the borders. What over here means loosely, Hashem puts peace. Chelev chitim yasviech. How does Hashem give peace to people? Chelev chitim yasviech. That is, the people are satisfied who have chitim, who have food and are satisfied. That's where Hashem places peace. This is what the common saying is that among people, Mishlam Sarei, when the barley is gone, Mikado Nakish, the barrel is empty, and when it's empty, it makes noise. And then there's discord in the house. I mean that the noise of the empty barrel is representative of Tigra, of discord, which is also noisy. So when the barrel is empty, when there's no food, then discord becomes about. Person should always be careful that he has food in his house because people are only called poor because they don't have food. How do we know that? That's from Shoftim by Gidon. By Gidon and Shoftim, it says that the Midianim were oppressing Bnei Israel. They used to go, and every time the Bnei Israel used to have to run and live in the caves or up in the mountains, and they used to try to come plant their fields down the valleys. And the Midianim used to come every time they planted and destroy their fields or harvested and take it for themselves. So there in the Pesukim it says, Vayayim Zara Yisrael, when the Bnei Israel planted it. Right, so the next Pasuk afterwards, I mean, they're skipping, they're clipping from Pesukim here. That the Midianim used to come and camp on them or come and grab away their stuff. And then two Pesukim later it says, Vayidal Yisrael Mo'od Bifnei Midian. Bnei Israel were Dalim, right? They were oppressed. They were poverty stricken because of the Midianim. Why? Because the Midianim were taking all their food. They had no food, and therefore they were called Dalim. So it's like brings a circle around on this. A person should always be careful in the kavod ishto. Why? And the bracha in the house comes from the wife. So kavod ishto, since right, we had this the gemara in other places that he always used to call. I forgot which Amora used to always call his wife Beito. Right, that he used to call him synonymous. The wife was the house, but she's the keret habayit. Right, and so Ishto, when we talk about over here, Ishto, Zubeito, it means if you want bracha b'bayit, right, then you have to give kavod to who is the bayit. Who's the bayit? That's the Ishto. K'shenemar, u'l'Avram etiv bavura. Avram was the goodness brought to Avram because of Sarah. Even though there it's not so positive necessarily, right? It was a little negative in that instance, because Sarah's taken away from him, right? And, but because of Sarah, he receives a bracha. Final darmalu rava l'bnei b'chuzah. Rava used to tell the people of the city, give kavod to your wives so that you should be rich. You want to be rich? You want the secret to success? The secret to success is giving kavod to one's wife. That's what the Rebbe says. Right now, it's not Notam. We have a Mishnah over there. Now, this Mishnah is brought here in the middle of Bob Metzia. It's a famous story of Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim of Tanur Shel Echnai. And it's brought here because of, we'll see in the end, towards the end of the Sugya, why it's brought here. So far, the Gemara digressed. It had Onat Dvarim. And then it slowly digressed away from Onat Dvarim, but these are all, I would say, associations, because you had the Onat Dvarim that we talked about. Then we talked about Shpichut Damim, that Shpichut Damim will be Pnei Chavero Brabim. This idea that embarrassing someone, meaning that Onat Dvarim, part of the problem with Onat Dvarim is embarrassing an individual in public. And then we said that they had a Chelek Olam Haba, Ein Lehem Chelek Olam Haba, and we might discuss, again, you know, what's the punishment Tosafot said for people that are Malbin Chaver Chaver Brabim, for someone who's over Al Eshadish. Ah, we talked about Eshadish, we got into our David HaMelech. When we talked about David HaMelech, but David HaMelech also had this issue of Malbin Pnei Chaver. There was an Atvarim, they were oppressing him with their words, they were asking questions in order to embarrass him. So then once we talked about Onah, and Onah and Isha, we came to Onah Tishto. And then Onah Tishto, we had a little, you know, segue into Ishto, and how to, what's the din of Ishto, when is Ishto Kovat? And then the Gemara came back again to discuss the punishment for Onah, and who gives punishment for Onah, and that once we're discussing that, we're talking about Sharim, they were open and closed, they're talking about Sharei Tefillah and Sharei Dma'ot. So all these associations that were brought through in this Agarat about Onah Divarim. So now the Gemara is going to talk about Tarunur Shachnai. What's that? Tarunur Shachnai is a tanur, it's an oven that is sliced, it is cut up. If it's cut up, it's tahor, right? In order to be tameh, you have to be a kli. An oven has to be a kli. So if you take an oven that's a kli, that's a movable kli, and you use it, of course, it's mekabel tumah. If you cut it up and make it not usable anymore, then it is tahor, because it's lost its shame kli, so it loses the tumah that's associated with the kli. On the other hand, what happens if you mechaber, if you put the kli back together afterwards? But when you put it back together, you don't put it back together the way it was before it was cut. You place sand in between the chalakim, in between the pieces, when you put it back together. So this happens to be a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Kelim. Chatchu chuliot. They cut it into pieces. Benatan chol ben chulia lechulia. Then they put sand between each piece when they plaster it back down to keep it together. They had sand between each piece. So the oven's not as effective as it was before because the sand allows for heat to escape from the oven. So this type of oven, what's the din? Is it tahor or tameh? Is it an effective oven? It's a kli now, and it's there, it's tameh, or is it os kli still? Is it still lacking a shame kli? It's lacking a shame kli, then it's not mikabel tuma, even though it can be used functionally similar to an oven, but it's not really an oven because it has these gaps between the pieces. They're not really solidly placed back together. So Rabbi Lezer mitaher, Rabbi Lezer says it's tahor, v'chamin mitamim. Rabbi Lezer mitaher, v'zeh haya tanur shel achnai. This is the tanur of Achnai. Achnai is a nachash, is a snake. Why is it called tanur shel Achnai? Because as a snake wraps itself up, a snake coils itself, right, to move its mouth into its tail. When it coils itself, exactly what you have in tanur shel Achnai. You have pieces that are pushed together, but there's gaps between them. That's the coiling of a snake that has little gaps between them. So Rashi says, Tosfos is goreis acheret, ish garas chachnai. It is achnai, but hachnai. And then Tosfos says, this is a type of tanur produced by this individual. He was either used this tanur or he produced this type of tanur. That's why it was called tanur shel achnai. My achnai, what is an achnai snake here? I'm reviewed on Mishmo, shu kfud varim, akifud varim, kachna zu, vitim uwa. They were they moved around, they slithered around Rabbi Lezer in order to make it tamei because they did not accept the position of Rabbi Lezer. We'll see it in a second. Tana, Oto Yom Meshiv Rabbi Lezer Kol Shuvot Shvolam Lo Kiblu Amenu. Rabbi Lezer was mamid his position. He upheld his position with every possible proof that he was right, and they did not listen to him. Amar Leim Yemalacha Kemoti Charuv Ze Yochiach. If the Allah is like me, this tree, this carob tree, should prove it. Nekar Charuv Mekomo. Charuv leaves its place, mea amah, 100 amot, yamila arba meot amah, 400 amot, the tree went flying out. Amrulo, ein mevin raya min a charuv. You don't bring a prayer, you don't bring proof from a tree. Chazav amaleim yamalacha kumoti amatamayim yuchicho, the water will prove it to me. Chazru amatamayim nachoreem, the water started to go backwards, right, up the hill. Amrulo, ein mevin raya amatamayim, you don't bring a proof from water, from a flowing,
Aqueduct,
right. If the lach is like me, the walls of his midrash will prove it. How? They're going to fall over. They started to fall over. They were going to collapse. Garbeim Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua stands up and screams at them. If we are arguing about halacha, atem mativchem. What do you have to do with this? You mind your own business. What are you getting involved in? Arma Kodesh over here, the walls of the Beis Midrash. Lo naflum yikmei kvodosh Rabbi Yeshua. They did not fall because of the kavod of Rabbi Yeshua. Velo zakfu, but they did not go upright again. Yikmei kvodosh Rabbi Eliezer, like the leaning tower of Pisa. They remained, right, falling over. They remained in a tilted position. Vadayim matim bomdim. You can go today and go see that Beis Midrash. They are still, these walls are leaning over these walls that are there. Now, the examples that are given here, you know, that the examples, you have a charuv, you have mayim, and you have the kotlei beit midrash. Let's say two things. One is that Torah is nimshala, right? The eitz chaimin machazikim ba, right? It's nimshala the mayim, right? And over here, obviously, the kotlei beit midrash represent the makom Torah. You also could say, if you remember the Gemara in Shabbos, on daf lamed gimel in the Gemara in Shabbos talks about Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Yochai and his son, when they go out to the cave, what are the items that they had when they were Lomei Torah? They had a charuv and a matzmai, right? Those were the two things that they actually had when they were there. They had to leave the Beit Midrash, and they went to get the charuv and mayim. So maybe Rabbi Lezer is talking about that, which represents Kulot Torah. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the charuv, the amatamayim, people are, right? Here's Kulot Torah. Torah is machriyag, and he's trying to prove that what the halacha is kemoto. Chazar amar lehem, im halacha moti, min ha-shamayim yuchichu. He says, it's enough. I'll prove it to you. If the halacha is like me, from the heavens, they will prove it. Yatztah bat kov amra, malachem etzel Rabbi Lezer, shalacha kemoto b'chol makom. Sorry guys, Rabbi Lezer is right, not only here, but everywhere. Rabbi Lezer, halacha is like Rabbi Lezer. What are you guys doing? Why are you working on Rabbi Lezer? Amad Rabbi Yeshua al raglav. Yeshua gets up on his feet, v'amar lo b'shamayim hi. It was a pasuk that it's no longer in heaven. My lo b'shamayim. What does it mean it's no longer in heaven? Am Rav Yerush kvar nitna Torah misinai. Torah was given from Har Sinai. It was given to human beings. Ein anu mashkichim bebat kol. We do not listen anymore to the heavenly voices. Shekvar katavta b'Har Sinai b'Torah. In the Torah it says, Acharei Rabbim la'atot. We go after the majority. Even if the majority are quote-unquote wrong, the majority is always koveya. We pass on halacha by our majority. Meaning that once halacha left shamayim, that means that the shalshelet halacha belongs to human beings and not to, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to lo shamayim. Whatever mistakes the human beings make, that is part of, now becomes part of the shalshelet halacha. Of course, it has to be done in the context of mistakes, right, not just willy-nilly mistakes, mistakes of psak halacha from Talmidei Chachamim and Acharei Rabbim la'atot. But there is a process of halacha here. And that process of halacha cannot be changed or intervened by Shemayim, by those in heaven.
It's interesting because Rabbi Yeshua had a whole thing going with Rabbi Gamliel.
Right, right.
So, and he was against the rabbi then, apparently, unless it was just him against Rabbi
Gamliel. That's Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's Koveya, the sack, he was wrong, but but he gave in the end. Rabbi Shua was different. Rabbi Shua came before him. He made him walk in front of him on Yom HaKippurim, Shalom, with his staff and everything. Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Natan, Natan bumped into Eliyahu and says, Amalei, my Avidu Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ba'i Shato. What was God doing when all this is going on? What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu thinking? What is he doing? Amalei, Kachayich. He was smiling. Amar, Nitzchuni Benai, Nitzchuni Benai. My children have beat me, they beat me. Meaning that they're right. In the end, even though Rabbi Lezer, and we're trying to prove, Abba Bashamayim, Malachas like Rabbi Lezer, but down below, they're right. The Alocha and the Torah says, Achrei Rabbim Latot, and the Alocha will be Nikva Yudei Arabim. Now this idea of Lo B'Shamayim here, Ritosus here brings two possibilities, or it means Lo B'Shamayim here. One possibility is that this is unique to this situation. It's only here by Rabbi Lezer, who was adamant or persistent in his position, and he was going against the Rabbim. Over there, Lo Mashpichim B'Bat Kol. So when we say Lo B'Shamayim, that's just in this incident with Rabbi Eliezer. But that's not true in general. Maybe in general it is B'Shamayim Hi. Or, the other has the possibility is Lo B'Shamayim Hi is a general principle that applies everywhere. Why? Because we have a machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right, in the Gemara in Yevamot, with many machlokot between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and then there's a batkol that comes out and says that the locha is like Beit Hillel. And we pass in a locha like Beit Hillel. So there it seems like we are kovel alachal pi, the batkol. So either, again, the two answers. One answer is that it's only, Lo B'Shamayim Hi is only applicable over here. But over there we will be mashgiach b'bat kol.
Over there is also the majority.
This is other answer. The other answer is that Lo B'Shamayim Hi applies everywhere. Over there, there was a safek about the halacha, right? So because the Beit Hillel and Beit Hillel were the rove. Beit Hillel were the rove, but we had a hakamim at the pasuk like Beit Shammai because they were harifim. So the bat kol comes out and says, even though Beit Shammai are harifim, still stay with the rove. So the bat kol wasn't coming to change the halacha or change the Torah. It was just mami the Torah achrei rabim latot. That's right. So Tosfos answers the possibility that Lo B'Shamayim has broader application, but there was a different because the bat kol there wasn't coming to go against the Pesach Halacha. All right. So now, Odemru Oto Ayom Eviu Kol Tarot Shetir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Eliezer. All Tarot Rabbi Eliezer was mitaher. They brought with Sarfum Ba'ish and they burnt them up. Anything that was done with Tanur Shach knife, they came and burnt them up. Nimu Alav Barchua. And then they had a minui and they put him into nidui. They put him in excommunication. Right, they excommunicate him. Rabbi.
Why did they excommunicate him?
Why did they excommunicate him? Because of his adamance in not accepting the halacha of the rabbin. So it's one thing if he can argue. There's nothing wrong with arguing. There's nothing wrong with stating your opinion. But once the halacha is nikva, ayideh rabbin, if then you stand in your position, it's problematic. In the Torah has what's called a zaken mamre. And here we have an idea that a posek that goes against the rabbin causes problems. Either kishtei torot b'Yisrael creates that there'll be two torot in Israel. There's only one Torah, it's b'achrei rabbin. Or because it undermines the authority of the Chachamim by being adamant in your position. So that we see from the verse we quoted before, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, with Rabbi Yeshua, when he gave in to Rabbi Gamliel in the end. He said that even though I know the halacha is like me, he gave in to Rabbi Gamliel because he had to give in to the Nasi. There had to be an authority. In the end, there has to be authority, and you have to give in to that authority. So Amru mi elech v'yodiu. Who's going to tell Rabbi Lezer that he's now in Nidui? I mean, you see what Rabbi Lezer can do here. Who wants to be the one to deliver the message to him? So Amru mi Rabbi Kiva ani elech. I'll go. Shem elech adam sheinu agun. He says maybe someone who's not appropriate will go. So he says and v'yodiu and tell him nimsa machrivet olam kulo that Rabbi Lezer will destroy the whole world or maybe destroy this person. Whatever the outcome would be, it wouldn't be so pleasant. So Master Rabbi Akiva, indicate to Rabbi Lezer that he was a nidui, lavash shchorim, put on black, v'nitatev shchorim, right, and wrapped in black, v'yashav l'fanav b'richuk arba'amot, and he stayed away from him, not close to him, but away from arba'amot, amar lo Rabbi Lezer Akiva, mayom yomayim, why is today different than any other day? Amar lo Rabbi, ki medumeli shechavirim bedilim mimcha. Says, I think that your friends have distanced themselves from you a little bit. Avu Karabi Gadav. Rabbi Lezer realized now that he was put into Nidui. He rips his clothes. V'chalatz min alav takes off his shoes. V'nishmat v'yashav al gabi karkan. He goes and sits on the floor like an avel. Like we have in Boy Katan, that there is an equation between avel and excommunication in Nidui, but they have the same dinim. So he's acting like an avel. Rashi says he's acting like an avel. He's ripping his clothes and he's thing of his shoes on the ground. Tosfos says here, it's not a proof necessarily that these are the lachot of Nidui, because maybe because out of pain, out of tzar, he was doing it here. So We can't necessarily prove that this is what everybody in Yidui has to do, because Mari and Moi Katan has questions about each of these items. But nevertheless, he acted in a manner which he understood that he was put into excommunication. Zalgu enav d'ma'ot. He started to tear. His eyes dropped tears. So again, this has to do with our Gemara before, right? Sharei d'ma'ot lo ninalu. Laka olam shlish b'zeidim, shlish b'chitim, shlish b'sorim. The tears that dropped out of Lezer's eyes, and that pain that Rabbi Lezer had, caused the world to be punished, or in a sense, or destroyed, that if they lost a third of their olives, a third in the wheat, and a third in the barley. That it had impact, that his crying had impact on the world. That even the dough that was in the hands of the woman, tofach means to go bad. I mean, it expands and goes bad, but went bad. Even that went bad. Tana, ach gadol haya ba'uto hayom. That there was a great ach here, there's another kirsu that says af, there was a great anger in the world on that day. Everywhere Rabbi Lezer turned his eyes, things were destroyed, it was fire. So that brings me back to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Remember the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai when they come out of the cave after all those years, right? They're in the cave for all those years. They come out of the cave and they walk around, and what do they start doing? Everywhere they look, it burns up, it's destroyed. Right? The same thing. And then Kodesh Baruch says, I didn't bring you out for this. Send him back in for another year into the cave. So that's the same thing here. Rabbi Lezer, right? But he talked about the Charuv, the Matamayim, and now they put him into Nidoy. Everywhere he looks, what happens? Nisraf. It's burnt up. Rabbi Gamliel Aya Baba Smina. Gamliel was coming in a boat back to Eretz Israel. He says, all of a sudden a storm, a wave, came to sink the boat. That this wave is coming for the kavod of Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunus. Amar al raglav, Rabbi Gamliel stands up and says, "Ramar ribono shalom, galoy biadul efenecha shalulich vodi asiti. I didn't do it for my own kavod. Veloch velod beit abasiti. Not for my father's house. Why? Because Gamliel is a nasi, right? The Beit David. Elich vodcha shalul yerbu machlokot miYisrael. Right? The answer to your question, right? There won't be tremendous machlokot in Israel. He went. He had to establish. He had to put a blazer into nidoy because he was adamant in his position, despite the fact that the halacha was going the other way. Nachayam zapo." So you see that they agreed, and the waters were quieted or calmed, and he was not drowned. Ema Shalom, the bitu de Rabbi Eliezer. So Ema Shalom was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. Achte de Rabbi Gamliel Ave. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel is the Nesi, and the Nesi, as the leader, was the one who put Rabbi Eliezer into Nidui. She was the sister of Rabbi, Gamliel, was married to Rabbi Eliezer. From that moment onwards, she would never let Rabbi Lezer do tachnun. She would never let him say tachnun from that moment going forward. Why? Because she was afraid if he said tachnun, it'd all be over. So if she said tachnun, it would kill Rabbi Gamliel, her brother. So she prevented her husband, Rabbi Lezer, from saying tachnun. So just we'll see in a second the power of tachnun, but the Rabbeinu B'chai, on our parasha, parasha Korach, right? Last week's Shabbos, on parasha Korach, he says, Moshe v'yipol apanav. The Rabbeinu B'chai quotes our Gemara over here. It says, Moshe v'yipol apanav. Maybe that is why Moshe was able to overcome Korach and punish Korach, because v'yipol apanav. He fell on his face, he did tachnun. But maybe you have to know or learn the importance of tachnun, the power of the tefillah of tachnun. You know, we are many times willy-nilly, we dismiss tachnun, we don't say tachnun, but here, see from the Gemara the power of tachnun and what it can do. And again, the Rabbeinu B'chai quotes it as a very powerful tool that Moshe used when he was trying to overcome Korach. So Yoma Resh Yarchavo. On that day it was Rosh Chodesh, Minyona Dioma. Right? So Ichlifla ben Malay le Chaser. She mixed up that it was a Malay or Chaser. She thought the month was a Chaser. She thought it was a 29-day month. It's a 29-day month, right? Then Rosh Chodesh was today. So Rosh Chodesh, she wouldn't be Nofel Apayim without her. She wouldn't have to stop him because it was Rosh Chodesh, she wouldn't say Dafna. But it was really a Malay. It was a Malay, that was a 30-day month. That means that Rosh Chodesh was really the next day, like today. Right, today, where you have today's a Malay, so you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So the second part of the day is what is Rosh Chodesh is when they didn't say Tachnun. She mixed it up. She thought it was the 30th was Rosh Chodesh, but it turns out Rosh Chodesh was really a Malay, a month that was Malay, and therefore only the next day was going to be Rosh Chodesh. What about us? When we have a Malay month, we have Rosh Chodesh both on the last day and the first day of the next month. This makes it seem like that's not the case. And when you have, today we do it, right, as a given. When it's a Chodesh Malay, we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. When it's a Chodesh Chaser, we do 1 day Rosh Chodesh. But back then, when they were Koveya, the Chodesh al Pi Ariyah, then whatever day they were Koveya, that was Rosh Chodesh. The other day was not Rosh Chodesh. This idea of 2 days Rosh Chodesh, right, that we have, it's really not a safek that we're doing misafek. We're doing it, we know, we're Koveya, that it's 30 days. Maybe it's a zecher to the fact that it could have been, those days, the 30th day was always a safek, because it could have been the first day of the next month, the last day of the other month. But here you see that they only kept 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. The problem with this is actually the Navi in Shmuel Aleph. In Shmuel, it discusses the fact that Navi, when he used to sit by Shaul, he used to come to the Shaul for the meals. And when he comes to Shaul for the meals, there was the first day of Rosh Chodesh, Shaul didn't ask a question about him. Why? Because he says, maybe he was Tameh. The second day of Rosh Chodesh, yes, why didn't he come? What does that show you? That they had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. They brought a Korban and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and they had a meal for Rosh Chodesh in both days. So there in the Navi, it seems that they explicitly had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and that's already back at the time that they were Koveh al Pi Ariyah. And yet they were still, right, Biyom Chol Shasheni. We read that, that's right, on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, that David did not show up.
What Korban are they bringing and eating on Rosh Chodesh? Is it Shlamin bread and
Korban? They're bringing the Korban Rosh Chodesh, right, the Korban of Rosh Chodesh. As opposed to us, which we didn't have, for us, Rosh Chodesh is just, you know, nice day, we say halal. So, but there, in their day, they used to bring karbanot. It was one of the times that they were old leather, regular in a sense. The Gemara in Erechim, when discussing about saying halal, the Gemara said, why don't we say that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed? Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, why don't we say halal? Where it says, we don't, there's no Yisr Malacha. Even though we bring a karban musaf and it's called a moed, there's no Yisr Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Because there's no Yisr Malacha, therefore we don't say halal. But you see from the Gemara in Erechim that Rosh Chodesh is a mamad of a moed, of a holiday, of an important day. So in their time, they used to bring karbanot. They had like a quote-unquote aliyah l'regel. There would be aliyah l'mishkan. But they used to bring karbanot on the day, and then it became a day of a chag, because when you bring karbanot, that's a personal chag. So people, that's the karbanot of Rosh Chodesh. Not that, you know, I mean, they have the karbanot musaf, obviously, but you bring a shlamim, something that was associated with the celebration of Rosh Chodesh. Ati anyo, some people say, no, that wasn't the case, but an ani came with kaya baba, right, and knocked on the door. Afikale rifta, she went to give him bread to give to the ani. Ashkach tei d'nafal ala anpe. She came back and he was already saying takhtan, Rabbi Lezer. Amalei kum katalit lachi, stand up, you just killed my brother. She didn't even get the news. She knew right away her brother was dead because Rabbi Lezer had done takhtan. You see the power, tremendous power of takhtan here, that she knew as soon as Rabbi Lezer had said takhtan, it was over. Her brother was dead. Arachi nafach shipura, mebeit Rabbi Gamliel, one of the messengers, you know, the news came from Beit Rabbi Gamliel to shachim that he was dead, that he had passed away. Amarlah minayadit, how did you know? Amarlei kach mekublani mebeit avi abba, kol asharim ninalim chutz mishareh ona. So that's why this Gemara is over here. That I am a Misora from the house of my father. Now the house of my father, she's the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. So she's from the house of Nisim. So either Beit Abba means that from her father's, you know, Rabbi Gamliel and the Nisim. Or who the Nisim come from, which Shoshelet, David, Beit David. So maybe the Misora is from David, which we saw before. That David said that, Ona, Mabim Pnecha Barob Rabim, right, that is worse, right, than Safek Deshidish. That the Ona is, that's the Misora that she had, that Ona is horrible. And that's what Chutz Mishari Ona, and that's from, where do we bring the Pasuk for Chutz Mishari Ona? It's from Pasuk in Tehillim, which is authored by David HaMelech. So the proof that we got from the Pasuk in Tehillim, that's what she has, Mibet Avi Abba. I have from the Misora from David HaMelech, that Ona is always answered. So because Rabbi Lezer felt oppressed or offended by what they had done, she knew that as soon as he died, as soon as he said Tachmon, it was over. That Hashem would answer him, and her brother, Rabbi Gamliel, would have died.
If Rabbi Lezer didn't want to harm Rabbi Gamliel and his wife had been preventing him from saying Tachmon all this time, why do you say Tachmon just because?
Well, he didn't want to. His wife prevented him.
But did he know why his wife was preventing
him? I don't know. It's a good question whether he knew why his wife. I assume he knew why she was preventing him. But he just wanted to say Tachmon like Bagil. I mean, that he also, it's interesting that he didn't dine with the minion, right? Because they didn't know what was going on. His wife was with him every day. Why didn't he dine with the minion?
He didn't need to do it.
He was in Chirim, so he didn't have a minion there. So he was davening by himself every day. It seems like he knew that his wife, but he was just saying Tachnon. I don't think he realized the outcome. Maybe he didn't even realize the power of the Tachnon that he would say his wife.
It was her Mesorah.
Right, exactly. His wife had the Mesorah that it was Ona. And that the Ona would be answered right away. So that's why she was preventing him, but he didn't realize the power of what the Tachnon would do. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Amen. Et a ger over b'shul shal yavim. Someone who oppresses the ger with Ona over three levim. Valo chatzo, someone who puts pressure on him, over the shnayim, it violates two. Gemara says, Maishna me'aneh, tichtiv shlosh levim. By me'aneh, we have three levim. It says, ger lo toneh. Chiyud, ger batz kem lo tonu oto. Lo tonu, ishet amito, which is the regular onah, right, which also apply to a ger. The ger, b'chlal amito, right, ger is part of anybody else, like anybody else in the Klal Yisrael. Lo chatzo, nami shlosh aktivim. Also by pressure, there is also three times it's written, lo tilchatzenu, ger lo tilchatz, lo tiyalok and noseh, right, that noseh, that you should not put pressure on him to pay back the loans. So all these you have three times that there's allowed not to pressure the ger. So Gemara says, the ger who ger bichlalu. I mean, in the last case, it doesn't mention ger specifically, but it says, lo tiyalok and noseh, not noseh, and noseh applies to anybody in Klal Yisrael. Ger is part of Klal Yisrael. Both of them have three lavim. If you pressure a ger, or you have onat, you will press the ger by saying onat barim, onat, right? In those instances, you are over in three lavim. Tani Rabbi Lezer, Gedolo Mary, Bnei Ma'i, Zira, Torah, Belamin, Vav, Mekomot. Why does the Torah warn in 36 places? Rami Lab, Memav, Mekomot, in 46 places, beger. Why does the Torah go over and over and over again mention that you shouldn't oppress the ger, you shouldn't do bad to the ger? Don't make sure you take care of the ger. Why is the ger mentioned so many times in the Torah? Why is that such a focus of the Torah? He says, "Mipnei shesuro ra." Right, that is, his predicament in life is difficult. He's in a difficult situation. Because he's in a difficult situation, he's the downtrodden. So that has two possibilities. Either because he's downtrodden, therefore Hashem stands up for him, because he needs an advocate on his behalf, so Hashem stands up for him. Or because shesuro ra makes it easier for people to oppress or these types of people. The Torah warns about the people who are easily, or the most easily oppressed. The Torah warns about those people. Other people can protect themselves or defend themselves. The ger doesn't have that ability necessarily. We have that by the ger, the yatom, the almana. All these people who are either a kodesh baruch who stands there or advocates on their behalf, and that's why Hashem is interceding, or because they're not, they don't have their own defenders. I mean, they can't defend themselves, and that's why people pick on them. Since people pick on them, a kodesh baruch who comes in and says, "Do not specifically pick on them." Don't oppress the ger. Don't pressure him. Because you are gairim in Eretz Mitzrayim. Right, so we have Rabbi Natan Omer, Mum Shebachal, Tomar Lechavrecha. Right, don't. If you have something wrong with you, you know, when there's something that you have, or a pekalach, that's in your family, don't start mentioning to someone else. So you want to start bothering the gair, you guys were all gairim too. So don't make fun or don't bother the gair, because you're also the source. You're a source. You're a makor. It's also a gair. This is the common saying amongst people. The zakif plays gifa b'diyukte lo nemele lechavre zakif benita. A person who has someone in their family who's hung, right, or hanged. The person was hanged, right, in the family. Don't mention the word hang to them. Like, don't say hang that fish up. Because they had someone who was hanged in the family, you don't mention something that, even though the verb and the term is being used differently over here, but because it's a sensitive topic, it's sensitive to the person, you don't mention it. So over here, if you guys were gerim, right, that you shouldn't be mentioning, or you shouldn't be talking about the other gerim, because it's something that should be in the family already. And you shouldn't be mentioning gerut, because you guys were gerim in Mitzrayim. Right, well, we'll stop over here.